Ephesians 2, verses 8 and 9. For by grace you have been saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. These verses before us today, brothers and sisters, are a summary of all that Paul has said about salvation up to this point. Up to this point, we have seen that even though we were children of wrath, that God has made us alive. He's made us alive and He has made us holy. And He has made us saints. And He has declared us blameless. And He has accepted us into the Beloved. Blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. He has redeemed us. He has forgiven us of our sins. He has justified us. He has called us. He has predestined us to be conformed into the image of Jesus Christ. He has adopted us. He has raised us up. And He has seated us in heavenly places. The verses before us tell us how we are to be saved. And they tell us also what will not save a soul from the wrath of God. When somebody says to you, what have you been saved from? In Romans it says that we have been saved from the wrath of God. God hasn't necessarily saved you from trials and tribulations and heartache and broken marriages, broken relationships, even though God may heal some of those areas that I just mentioned. The main thing is that human beings have to be saved from the wrath of God. As we saw earlier in Ephesians, we were by nature children of wrath. But yet God has done something about that. In our text, it says that we are saved by grace through faith, and that is not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Let us first look at the negative aspect of our text. The negative aspect is not of works. Works refers to that which one undertakes to do. Anything. Anything accomplished by hand, by art, by industry, by mind, by act, by deed, by anything done in the flesh. This word speaks of any human effort that is performed in the hope that it will secure salvation for the person. No one will ever be saved by their works. In Romans 4, verse 4, Paul makes this abundantly clear. Now to him who works, the wages are not counted as grace, but as debt. But to him who does not work, to him who does not work, but believes on him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. In Romans 11:6, it tells us, and if by grace, then it is no longer of works. It's either of grace or it's of works. And God says it's not of works. Otherwise, grace is no longer grace. It's no longer grace. But if it is of works, it is no longer grace. Otherwise, work is no longer work. It's either grace or works. It's one or the other. This concept of being saved by works is diametrically opposed to man's way of thinking. That's what karma is all about. You do good, you get good. You do bad, you get bad. But the Bible is diametrically opposed to that thought. Since the beginning of time, man has tried to earn his own salvation. Adam and Eve sinned. What'd they do? They went and hid, and they went and hid, and then what? And they covered themselves up. Abel offered a sacrifice, and Cain offered a sacrifice. Abel's sacrifice was by faith, and Cain's sacrifice was by works. This concept of earning your salvation has gone on from the beginning of time. We see it in the pages of Scripture. To the point of people offering their children to Moloch. Tossing your child into the fire to earn your salvation. Children to Moloch, or their purity to Baal. When you're reading about Baal worship all the time in the Old Testament, about the high places, that's what the high places were about. Sexuality, offering up purity to Baal. That's the reason why in many countries people worship cows, people worship snakes, people worship nature, and people worship a host of other things. Is to earn salvation by works. And the common denominator in these and all man-made religion is works. Some sort of effort on your part to earn your salvation. But God says, it's not of works. It's not of works. Now, you may be sitting here and saying, hey, I don't worship cows, I don't worship snakes. I'm not throwing my children to Moloch. Maybe it's something that you give up. Especially in this season now, you have Lent coming up. That's what Lent is all about. I'm going to give this up, and then God is going to reward me this way. Something that you give up. Or your good deeds. Or maybe self-punishment. I know God says I'm forgiven, but I have to, and you fill in the blank. Self-punishment, where Christ was punished on our behalf. Something you must do to appease the deity, whatever that thing may be. And the question is this, what is the something that you must do? What just came to your mind when I said that? What is the something that you must do? Or did grace come to your mind? What thing must you do? The fact is, man thinks he has to earn his salvation. And it is endemic to man, especially on a Sunday. How many people go to church week after week, year after year, decade after decade, to earn their salvation? They're just punching their clock, they're punching their car, and Jesus Christ is on their mind for about an hour, and then walk out the door. The only reason you come into church is that's what we do. We go to church. My parents went to church. God will be pleased with me. He'll check it out, see if I got my membership or my card, and he'll let me into heaven. Salvation by grace is just too simple for people. The good news is just too good. God can't be that good. After all, look at my life. When anything bad happens into my life, I blame God. And you're telling me, Bill, he's forgiven me all my sins, given me forgiveness, redemption, eternal life. He's given me all these things simply as a gift. I can't believe that. I just can't believe that. People just cannot believe the good news. Secondly, salvation by grace is also humbling. It humbles you. You're not bringing anything to the table. The only thing you're bringing to the table is your sin. That's your contribution to your salvation. You bring sin, and Christ brings the righteousness of God. Christ becomes sin for us in order that we would become the righteousness of God. That is humbling to people. You're telling me that I can't do nothing for my salvation? Absolutely humbling. And Paul tells us that good works are excluded from the process of salvation. Why? Tells us in our text. Verse 9. Ephesians 2, verse 9. Not of works. Why, Paul? Why, Lord? Lest anyone should boast. Lest anyone should boast. You want to know if you understand grace or if you're a works righteousness person? Let me pose this question to you. You're in heaven, an angel walks up to you and says, Bob, why are you here? The only answer is because of Christ. The only answer. If you say anything, I believe, I accepted, I did something, you're missing grace. And I'm going to get to belief, so don't think I'm saying you don't have to believe. You do have to believe. But if you're in heaven, the only reason you're there, and not your brother, your sister, your mother, your father, your neighbor, is because of the grace of God. There'll be no boasting in heaven. What does it mean to boast? It means to glory in a thing. To glory in a thing. If men were able to earn their own salvation, then they would be able to take credit for it. He would boast. He would set himself up as God and worship himself. What did the serpent say to Eve? You will be like God. You will be like God. If you got to heaven by your own works, you'd spend eternity bragging about how you made it. I did, and you fill in the blank. Except Christ did, and God has given you the gift of God. The gift of God. No matter how much you change your life, you can never erase your sin and your guilt before God. No matter what you do, there is only salvation one way. That's by the blood of Jesus Christ. Your good works, your vows, your commitments, your whatever, fill in the blank, is not the price of admission into heaven. The price of admission is the blood of Jesus Christ. How could you say that, Bill? Well, turn to Romans 3. Let's see what God Almighty has to say about this issue of works. Romans 3, beginning at verse 24. Being justified, notice, freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Redemption is in Christ Jesus, no other place but in Christ. Verse 25. Whom God set forth as a propitiation. You may have a different word in one of your translations, but the bottom line to propitiation, it means mercy seat. The mercy seat, where the blood had to be sacrificed in the Old Testament. The mercy seat. Set forth as a propitiation, notice, by His blood through faith. To demonstrate His righteousness, because in His forbearance, God has passed over the sins that were previously committed to demonstrate at the present time His righteousness so that He might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. Where is boasting then? It is excluded. No boasting. By what law? Of works? No. But by the law of faith. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith apart from the deeds of the law. And the question is, what conclusion have you reached? The Holy Spirit in Romans is acting as an attorney. Here's the case, then the Holy Spirit says, now what did you conclude? Are you going to believe what God has said? Or are you still going to insist on earning your own salvation in some way, shape, or form? What do you conclude? That's the negative side of salvation. Now you'll hear the positive side. If salvation does not result from being religious, being a good person, or doing good works, where does salvation come from? Paul tells us in the text. Go back to Ephesians 2, verse 8. For by grace you have been saved through faith. Our brother read Hebrews 11. You notice the common denominator? By faith. All the saints that went before us, all the saints that will go after us, it's by faith. It is by faith. Through faith. The question is, what is faith? Faith is a conviction of the truth of something. A belief. Saving faith is simply coming to the place where one believes with absolute conviction that everything the Bible says about Jesus Christ and the plan of salvation is true. That's what faith is. Faith is not name it and claim it, you get a Cadillac and a new house. That's not faith. That's prostituting the Word of God. Salvation is not the result of doing anything. It is the result of a lost sinner simply taking God at His word. What's John 3:16 say? For God so loves the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believeth in Him would not perish, but have everlasting life. Simply open hands. Acts 16:31. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. Turn to Romans 10. Verse 9. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. That's the plan of salvation. That's the gospel. What do I have to do, Bill? You have to simply believe the gospel. Look at Romans 4. You're like, wow, we're going to Romans quite a bit. Romans has the most detailed instruction about salvation. If you've never studied Romans, study Romans 4. Romans 4 beginning at verse 20 through 25. Once again, our brother read about Abraham. Well, Paul's using the example of Abraham in Romans 4. Beginning at verse 20. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, speaking of Abraham, but was strengthened in faith, given, notice, glory to God. Saying one boasting that he was 100 and Sarah was 90. Giving glory to God and being fully convinced what he had promised he was also able to do. What God had promised Abraham. The question is this, do you believe that? That God says He will save your soul by simply believing on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. Or are you wavering? Being fully convinced that what He had promised He was also able to perform. Verse 22, and therefore it was accounted to Him for righteousness. Accounted to Him for righteousness, simply believed. Notice verse 23, now it was not written for His sake alone. That it was imputed to him. Imputed. a legal term. It's written in the books. It either says Bill saved by grace or Bill trying to be saved by his works and he's going to be damned. It was imputed to him, Abraham. But not for him alone, but also for us. It shall be imputed to us who believe in him who raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered up because of our offenses. And not only was he delivered up for our offenses, but he was raised because of our justification. Christ came out of the grave because we are justified. Amen. And God Almighty says, I'm pleased. The atonement has been made. Propitiation has been made. The blood is sprinkled on the mercy seat. In the Old Testament, the Jew could say, well, you know, I don't really want to do that. I don't want to offer up no blood. I don't want to offer up the lamb. I have a different plan of salvation. I'm going to do good works. I'm going to go to the synagogue. I'm going to make commitments. I'm going to make vows. What happened at the Passover? Take the lamb, slit the throat, the blood will be put on the lintels, on the doorpost. And when I see the blood, the angel of death will pass over. And the question is this. Is the blood on your heart? Or is your good works there? And if you're dependent on your good works, Isaiah said, that our works are as filthy rags. That's our works, so never mind what our sin looks like. Your works are as filthy rags. Are you going to believe the gospel? Who or what are you trusting for salvation? Maybe you think you're a pretty good individual. Well, the same Paul, let's look what he said in Philippians 3 about works, verses 8 through 11. Here's Paul. You know his pedigree. 8 day circumcised, tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, concerning the law of Pharisee, blameless, according to the righteousness which is in the law, an outward righteousness. Paul said blameless. And here's Paul, he reached the conclusion, Philippians 3, beginning of verse 8, yet indeed I also count all things, loss, for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them as rubbish, so that for this purpose I might gain Christ. Grace alone, through faith alone. And be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God. You have a need of a righteousness from God, an alien righteousness imputed to you by God, so that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings being conformed to his death. Where does this message find you today? I don't know your heart, but God Almighty knows your heart. And he knows that in that first line it either says grace or it says works. Grace or works. You're taught that from when you come out of the womb. All the kids at Christmas time and all the adults know. Santa knows who's been naughty and who's been nice. Well, God Almighty says there's none good. No, not one. There's none righteous. No, not one. There's none who seek after God. For all have gone out of the way. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Not Santa knows who's been naughty and nice. Because he needed a Savior too. The real Saint Nick. He had to come to God by grace himself. Our text in Ephesians tells us salvation is all of grace. And notice what it says. For by grace You have been saved. Past tense. You're sitting here today, you're either saved or you're damned. And if you're saved, it is by grace. And if you're damned, it's by your works. It's one or the other. The grace of God means that God reaches out to those who deserve nothing from Him but His judgment and His condemnation. We saw in a previous study, by nature, we're children of wrath. That cute little child that comes into the world is a child of wrath. That's why they act the way they do. That's why they're so mean and nasty. And you gotta beat the fear of God into them a little bit. They're not cute and cuddly. At times. But God says that we all, every single one of us. See, most of us, our plumb line is the guy or the girl sitting next to us. But the plumb line is God Almighty. You have to be as righteous as God Almighty to dwell in the heavenly places, in the holy place. That's why it says Christ became sin for us, in order that we would become the righteousness of God. Today's message is the gift of God. That's what it says in the text. For by grace you have been saved, past true faith, and that's not of yourself. It is the gift of God. It's the gift of God. When people say, oh, God this and God that, and how could God this, and the earthquakes and the disasters and the death and the heartache and the pain, He's given you eternal life. It is the gift of God. God turns His favor towards those who deserve His wrath. Do you really believe that? That you deserve the wrath of God? Either you're going to suffer His wrath or Christ is going to suffer His wrath in your place. God turns His favor. God reaches down to those who cannot reach up to Him. That's why the angel came down the ladder and Jacob didn't go up the ladder. Because God comes down to man. Just like He did to Paul on the road to Damascus. Paul's going to round up the Christians. And all of a sudden he has a divine intervention. God comes down, God reaches down, God goes to those who will not come to Him. They will not come. There's none who seek after God. The carnal mind is enmity towards God. It's an enemy of God. It can't come to God. God in His grace though reaches out to powerless, sinning enemies of His. Read Romans 5 and read it closely. That God demonstrated His own love towards us when you were powerless, an enemy, a sinner under His wrath. That was your condition. That may be your condition here today. But you're hearing the gospel, you're hearing the good news today, you can come to Him. And the question is, do you know this kind of grace? Do you really know? Or is grace kind of just like a little byword? Like a figure skater, oh, what grace you showed out on the ice today. That's not the grace that we're talking about. The grace that saves the soul. What do you really believe? What do you really trust? Where does your faith lie? What comes to your mind when you first hear that? Are you saved by grace through faith? Are you saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone? And I tell you, if you really understand the grace of God, you'll be in wonder and awe at His grace. Is amazing grace really amazing to you? Or have you sung it so many times that that's kind of just like an adjective that goes with grace? Or is it truly amazing to you that you look back and say, man, I should be damned. But yet God was merciful to me. In Romans it says, I will have mercy on whom I'll have mercy. God being merciful to lost men and women. The way of salvation is through faith. The wonder of salvation is, it's all a grace. It is all a grace. The grace that sought us and the faith that saved us is the gift of God. That's why I said earlier about believing. You can't even boast. You can't even boast in the believing. Because grace and faith are the gift of God together, combined together. Grace grants you the faith to believe. So the only reason you believe is He granted you the faith to believe. And it's all the gift of God. Why am I in heaven? Because of Christ. Because of Christ. You believed, I believed. Why did I believe that in 1980 and not 1960? Because in 1960 he gave me the gift. And in 1980 he did. And then when I heard the gospel, I believed. And that gospel changed my life. And the question is, did the grace of God change your life? Or are you the same old cantankerous person? Now you talk about an old word. The same old cantankerous person that you were 20, 30, 40, 50, 60 years ago. As I said, you couldn't even believe in Christ unless Christ first came to you and gave you the faith to believe. Then it's all of grace and all of Christ. And no boasting. No boasting. And even the sin that you bring to the table, He gives you the faith to believe that you got to bring the sin to the table. So you can't even take credit for your sin. That shows you how wicked we are. We want to take our sin back from Christ and somehow make atonement for that sin. Your sin belongs to Christ. Leave it there with Him. I know people beating themselves up for decades over the same sin. Christ paid that price. That sin belongs to Him. If you're a child of God, it's no longer yours. The righteousness of God is what belongs to you. And if you truly get that down in your soul, you will act that way. You will act in a righteous manner. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. Is it sweet to you? Grace brings salvation through Christ. Grace delivers us from the power of sin. Many believers, oh yeah, I'm saved. I'm saved from the penalty of sin, but not the power of sin. You've been delivered also from the power of sin. Not only the penalty of sin. Grace brings many blessings. As I started the message, this is a summary of what went before. Right? Saints, holy, predestinated, justified, seated in heavenly places, on and on and on and on it goes. A prayer does not save. Good works will not save. Being a better person will not save. Going to church will not save. We're saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. That, my brothers and sisters, is the gospel. If there's anyone sitting here today that has never come to Christ, or you're dependent on your good works, come to Christ today. You want an illustration? Christ is being crucified. Two thieves, one on each side of Him, being crucified. One keeps on chirping, keeps on yapping. And the other one says to Christ, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Christ tells that one, today you'll be with me in paradise. The same is true for you and I today. Simply come into Christ and remember me when you come into your kingdom. And He has come into His kingdom. And He would say to you today, today you'll be in paradise with me. You'll be seated in the heavenly places with me today. If you would simply be like the thief on the cross that simply asked Him. And one thing is for sure, He didn't do any good works. He's up there being crucified for bad works. He was a thief. He didn't come down, He didn't get baptized. He didn't come down, have confirmation. He wasn't putting tithes and offerings in. He wasn't making vows and commitments. He definitely saw His desperate need of a Savior. And the question is, did you see your desperate need of a Savior? Because each and every one of us, we're all waiting to die. It's just when and how. Saved by grace, through faith alone. As I mentioned earlier, about concluding, is this your testimony? Right now, you can, the Holy Spirit is saying, yes, that is true of you, and he's bringing up verses to you. He's testifying to you. Or he's doing his other ministry, convicting the world of sin and righteousness. Where do you find yourself today, right now, hearing this message? Is the Holy Spirit testifying, yes, with your spirit, yes, you are a child of God? Or he's saying, you've been dependent on your good works, or whatever he's telling you. You need to come to Christ today. God is offering a pardon. Do not reject his free offer of salvation through Christ. He's offering you the pardon. You have to simply believe. Whosoever will, come. All ye that are burdened and heavy laden, come, I'll give you rest. You that feel that you're going to be damned, come. You who feel, I've sinned too much though, Bill. Come. No qualifications. Qualification is, for all I've sinned. It's not great sinners, little sinners, big sinners, halfway sinners. We're all sinners. Need to be saved by grace. In conclusion, one last scripture in the book of Romans. For the wages of sin, notice, sin, not sins, the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God. I started with that text. It is the gift of God. And I'm ending with that same text in Romans. It is the gift of God. And that is eternal life in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen.